Shavua Tov, and welcome to our home. And we've had the pleasure of enjoying Rabbi Liebtag giving a whole bunch of amazing shiurim over at Or Chaim. I think thank you to Torah in Motion, and thank you to Or Chaim for arranging for Rabbi Liebtag to be here. And without further ado, whatever.
I think there's been more food than shiurim, but we see a lot of, yeah. We'll survive. remember the title for tonight?
No.
You don't know the title?
No.
Okay, good. So we can
do whatever you want.
Jay, what was the title? Remember?
The title was Why God Speaks to Himself. Why does God speak to Himself?
Now, did you notice that God talks to Himself? I can send that. God talks to Himself in Brishit, doesn't He?
That's how many people talk.
He's talking to himself?
No.
When's the first time God talks to himself?
Gracious.
In the very beginning, right? Day one, day two, day three. And we discussed, those were in the show this morning, we talked about that like from a different angle. But God definitely talks to himself. He's into talking. And then he does what he says he's going to do. And we talked about anthropomorphism, where for us to relate to God, we describe God in human terms. But we just had to explain that what God does is like what we do. Because we think about doing things, then we do it. It's called being human or being creative. And there's a whole theme of Tzelem Elokim, and that was the topic for this morning. I want to focus on a different idea, because God speaks to himself, and then Shalom gave the right wrong answer. What did you say? When I asked when was the first time God talks to himself, you said what?
Let us make man in our image. He's talking to the divine retinue.
Wait, there's two things. Chumash says, what's Chumash say? When God makes man, before God makes man, God's talking a lot. But he's talking to himself. Or, he's talking, and it gets done, or he does it. But it didn't say he was talking to. Maybe no one was listening. But the first time it says that he's talking to somebody else is when he makes man. And then Chumash makes a mistake. Who does it? Sure it does, a lot, on purpose. What did God say? Say that pasuk again? How does it begin? Vayomer? What? Vayomer Elokim or Vayomru Elokim?
Vayomer Elokim. It's a grammatical problem.
Yeah, and then he says, Nase Adam.
Right.
So we talked about it. What Chumash does, the word for God is many gods. Because Eloha is a god or a power, and many powers is Elohim. And the way Chumash teaches monotheism is by describing God as many gods and conjugating it in the singular. And that's how we differentiate, like in the Yeshiva world, when you say Elohim, you mean our God. When you say Elohim, you mean other gods. Like, Lo Yel Elohim Acherim Apanai. You don't read Lo Elohim Acherim. It's a great question. You say Elohim Lo Tchalel. Or Avo Vashem Elohim Acherim Lo Taskiru. But if you say it the wrong way, it's like saying ginger kale. You know? you have to say it the right time. No.
Isn't the first time God talks to himself when he says you are?
Yeah. Yeah, but when he makes man, he says, Vayomer Elokim, Nase Adam. That's in the plural.
Who is he talking to?
Well, obviously more than himself now.
Right? Christians love that puzzle.
Why? There's someone else he has. Well, I think that it's clear he has board members. And that's what Rashi says. What Rashi says is he's discussing with his... He has board members, but they're up in heaven. And he doesn't need them, but he does want them to be jealous. Remember that, Rashi?
They have to do the work for him.
What?
They do the work for him.
That could be, well...
They're shlichas.
That's in Chabad.
In a sense.
But the whole concept that there's... Because who... Who are the malachim? That's a big question. But when God says, let something happen, and it happens, who gets the work done? Does he have foreign workers? Does he do it himself?
Well, if it's in a hospital, it's Raphael.
Okay. Okay, so that's a whole, not mythology, that's a whole, some word for it, but are there really malachim with names and things like that? But to relate to God, we have those descriptions. Now back to, but for some reason when God makes man, he talks in the plural. Not Saddam, doesn't he? So he's talking to somebody. So the, now the rabbis say he's talking to the divine angels. And the Christians say he's talking to some Holy Ghost or, yeah, whatever it might be. But Chumash doesn't say who he's talking to, but in a strange way, he says Naseh. But who does the work?
He
does it himself. So it's unclear why, but that's why Chumash is signaling something special is going on here. Now, does that ever happen again, that God does something? After creation, does he ever talk to himself again?
When he wants to destroy the world, you know?
I think even before that, a little before that. Remember when B'nai Akiva started? Not B'nai Akiva, that's not nice. We read about that today. What happens when...
In the story of the Nephilim, he says, Lo Yidron Ruchi.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't decide to destroy. He says, man's living too long.
But he's talking to someone.
Who's he talking to? Yeah. He's talking to somebody, but what's he saying? He's talking about his relationship with man. And then he said, and God says, Lo Yidron Ruchi Ba'adam, because he's got too much... He's been living too long.
Yeah.
And Ad Me'ev Esrim, which is like a downgrade. Now we think it's a... not birthday parties, it's a blessing, isn't it? Yeah. But in Chumash, it was a downgrade. Because man's living too long. But he's making a decision about man, and he's talking out loud, isn't he? And then, once he do it again? And then the next paragraph we read today. God, when he remembers, he's not a happy deity. Because Yetzer Adam is Rak Kol Hayom. And what does God say? God says to him, Emchet Adam Asher Barati. Every time when God is making a major decision about man, he's talking. And sometimes he talks in the plural. Some people call it the royal we, I think. Like, let's do it like it's like a royal we. We're going to call it a divine us later. You understand the difference, but we'll get that in a minute. Does that make sense? Royal we, divine? You'll see what I mean in a minute. Now, does he talk, after the flood, does he talk to himself?
Yes.
A little before then. After the flood, when he smells that Reach Nichoach, then he talks to his heart. It's really cool. Okay? But remember, Yomer Elibo, he says to himself,
he's self-reflective.
Okay, he says, I can regress. We talked about anthropomorphism. That's the most human thing you could do. Do something, right? Regret what you did. I mean, do something and be angry at what you did. Destroy it, and then regret that you regretted. And then promise never to do that again. That's like life, I think. I mean, some people, normal people. You know, tell other people. But but again, we're describing God in human terms. But after the flood, what does he decide to do? I'm not going to do that. That's called, in Kabbalah, it's called Tzimtzum, isn't it? When God can do something, but he decides he can't do something. Got the idea? God can do everything. But God decided he can't destroy civilization again. He's not going to bring another flood or any mess. He might punish a specific town or something like that. He might like wipe out stone, but he won't wipe out all civilization again. And then that's the whole world of Tikkun. Then, what else is there? Oh, that's it. No, is that it? Does he talk to himself again?
Well, yes, when he's considering when he's going to destroy stone. Whether
we
just tell Abraham.
But before then, you mentioned something. Amen. What happens to Migdalavel?
God takes note of the fact that everyone was of one nation and one language and decides God is talking to God's self. And
he's talking to himself or talking to his board members? Board members. Remember?
Haben
der da. Yeah. There it says what? It says, God says, Haben der da und Valasham is fatam. There he's talking in the plural again. Now, is that a major step in his relationship with humans? That's with nations, isn't it? God gets really involved. Man starts doing something, and God gets involved. In fact, in all the stories in creation, God's getting involved in what's going on. Now, did he ever talk to a human before? I mean, he talked to Adam Arishan, didn't he? He chewed him out.
And Cain.
And Cain, remember? And he talked to Noah. And what else? It's cool that with Noah, he never has a conversation. God says do it, and he does it both. Adam, he has this really cool conversation with Cain a little bit. But so he talks to himself there. And don't you notice that in the first 11 chapters, he's just talking to himself all the time, isn't he? And every time he makes a major decision about man, God's talking either to himself or to his board members. He also did something else. You forgot one. When he kicked man out of Gan Eden. Oh, when he decided that man needs somebody to tell him that he's wrong. Oh, yeah, yeah. What?
An
Ezer. Put on that. He's not driving good. What?
An
Ezer. An Ezer connector, yeah. Doesn't God talk to himself there?
Roto
leyoto dam levado? Oh, plural again. How do you like that? Right? Naselo neget. So when he makes man, he needs... But when he makes man, he talks to his board members. And when he makes woman, he talks to his board members. Because they started the job, what?
Naselo Ezer connector.
They said Naselo. It's plural again, isn't it?
No, I think it's... I think it's
Naselo?
Naselo.
Naselo?
I think it's Naselo.
Yeah. Naselo Ezer connector.
What's he say there?
I think there's only one.
You're right. Estelo is a connector. So he doesn't say, he doesn't consult Borman because they messed up the first time. Okay?
Is that the joke?
What?
That's a joke.
Yeah, no, but there's another time though. When he throws him out of Gan Eden, that's the coolest one. Why does God throw men out of Gan Eden?
Yeah. That's what he says.
But what's he afraid of? Heine Adam Haya
Kacha
Mimeno. Right? And what's he say? He's like one of us. Now God's talking to somebody there, isn't he? God says, man is like one of us. I'll read it for you in a minute. I'll give out the page in a second. Is it there? Maybe not. Yeah. Heine Adam Haya Kacha Mimeno V'da Tovara V'ata Peri Shlach V'chach Meitzagam V'chach V'chach V'chach. But God says, Heine Adam Haya Kacha Mimeno. That's where Chazal get the idea of a board of his, as a board members, as this Beit in Shamala. Because God says he's like one of us. And then we kick him out. That's when he consults again. Anyway, but you see, everyone, God's talking to himself a lot and talking. He has his board members and talks to himself. And then you mentioned one, but after Migdal Bavel, it almost never happens again. You mentioned one time. But wait. Stone, he talks to himself. He talks to Avram Avinu.
No, but before he talks to Avram Avinu, he's talking to himself saying, should he tell Avram?
Oh, you're right. Good. Okay. And after that, does he ever talk to himself? Okay. You're right. You weren't supposed to know that. But pretend you didn't hear that. What's really cool is like this. In the first 11 chapters, God is consistently talking to himself or to his board members at every key moment in his relationship with humans. And after Mi'bavel, he stops. And it's over. That's it. And then there's one more time in Chumash, except for Shirat Hazino, which maybe we'll talk about later. Only when it comes, the only one more time that God talks to himself, which is the most important, according to Jay, is the most important Pasuk in Chumash, according to Torah and Moshe. You know what Pasuk I'm talking about? So that's what we'll share together with you. If you have, I'll pass some of these around. Yeah, pass these around. Yeah, I guess one for Jay underestimated. Because you only get a million tonight. Okay. That's okay. But you don't need to pay because you know most of this stuff. Yeah, pass a couple of these around. 132 or 3. Yeah, pass these down there. But you know the story. Okay. But let me make my key point because we're almost running out of time. My key point is that it's a tool that Chumash is using to give over its ideas. Sometimes I show you all the time. Chumash is up to something. We call it joke and say, wake up and smell the Chumash. When Chumash has God talking to himself, it doesn't mean God's talking to himself. We don't know what God is, but we describe God in human terms. But what I claim is that the reason why Chumash describes God talking to himself is all a build-up to the most important pasuk in Chumash. Because the big topic in Sefer Bereshit is God choosing a nation for a purpose. I think that's the topic of the book. We read that this morning. Amzu Yatzar Teli, but we read in Yishayel. Those of anyone came this morning, or anyone was there? The 7:45 share? Okay, so we talked about that, didn't we? We talked about the God. What did you talk about? In Haftarah from Yishayahu, which we read today, that God was Yotzer Notei Neshama L'Amaleh. God made a nation with a neshama. Did Sefer Bereshit and made a brit with that nation. The brit am lo ergoyim. God, according to Yishayahu, Sefer Bereshit is a God about not only creating man, God creates a nation. Within a Shema, and God made a brit with that nation, right, to be like other nations. That's like Torah and Moshe in a nutshell, isn't it? It's your theme all the time. that there's a reason why we're chosen, and we're supposed to be a model nation for other nations to learn from. But to be that, we have to become a nation. So the main topic of Sefer Bereshit, especially if it was given to Am Yisrael when they got to Torah after they leave Egypt, Am Yisrael needs to understand why they're chosen. So God gives us the story of creation and about our forefathers to understand why we're chosen. And the way the message is developed, we have God consistently talking to himself in making these decisions. And then there's going to be one last time that God's going to talk to himself. Got it? And that's before the story of Sodom. Okay? And therefore, my claim is that because it happens all the time before Avraham Avinu, and once we get to Avraham Avinu, it never happens again except once. That's objective. My subjective interpretation is Chumash is doing that on purpose to build up that event. Now, if that event is a key theme in Chumash, and we hit the nail on it. That was Christian again. That was okay. We got to the main point. You with me? Now you tell me. In the story of Sodom, just remember, at what point does God talk to himself? So I'll tell you how the story begins. Avram is sitting, it's the middle of the day, I think, and Avram is outside the tent looking for a minion, or looking for to raise money, whatever it is. Okay. And who comes by?
Three.
Oh, three. No, this Christian stuff. It wasn't Beit Lechem, he was in Elonim Amre, right? But three men, they're real people there. They're on Hashem.
Okay. Sometimes they're unashamed, and that's right.
But they're always unashamed. But and person sent by God could be called a malach. Moshe's called a malach. Anyone sent by God is a malach. Okay. You said they wouldn't eat milk with some flesh if otherwise. Either way, when Avram comes, what does he do? He's Mr. Hachnasas Orchim, isn't it? That's the story about Hachnasas Orchim, the first Ipsukim. Remember? He's running, he's moving, it says that story is awesome. There's so many verbs and so many actions and so quick. And this one's there and he's got, and she's making, he's shechting the cow and she's making cake. It's, like in that Mizrahi thing, it's like a couple, the husband and wife are doing. You see the Mizrahi booklet? They have, Kevin and Chani Terrigan and Rabbi Rimon and his wife. It's so cute. They have this nice sound. Anyway, they're a beautiful couple doing Hachmas Mizrahi. Got that? That's the first story. And then what happens next? Before benching. After benching, whatever it was. What did they tell him? They tell who?
They tell her.
Avram or they tell Sarah?
Sarah. They tell Sarah.
Oh, whatever. They tell them that they're going to have a kid. And it's no laughing matter.
It is.
You know the story, right?
Literally.
Yeah. And they, at least they thought it was funny. I mean, she didn't. And they got angry at her for laughing, right? Mm-hmm. Take it seriously. But then it's the news of the birth of Yitzchak, which is a big deal. And then what happens?
Then they're going to leave, and then there are only two of them that are about to leave.
Okay, so they're about to leave.
And Abraham is escorting.
Yeah. And Abraham escorts them outside the door. And on the way out, one of them stays to talk and schmoozes with Abraham Avinu. Two, on the way out. And one stays to talk with Abraham Avinu, right? Who's called God by the Pesukim. And what does he tell Avraham Avinu?
I'm going to make a great nation.
No, that was back in Lech Lecha, wasn't it? Didn't God tell him you'd be a great nation back in the beginning of Lech Lecha? That was in chapter 12. We're chapter 18 now.
We're talking about what happened.
No, but what did God tell Avraham about Sodom?
But that was supposed to be a light.
No, wait. I'm talking about what does God tell Avraham Avinu? Not what. What does God tell Avraham Avinu about Sodom?
No, that's God talking to himself.
Oh. No. That's God talking to Avraham Avinu. No, you mixed up two psukim. So listen, if you have a doubt, look, you read out loud for everybody, okay? Sophie, right?
Yeah.
Sophie.
You're good.
Okay. Read out loud. Listen, we're going to read from Pasuk Tetzai. Listen carefully. You'll be, women can read out loud. Just don't sing it, okay? read Pasuk. Come sit your seats here. Okay, good. Okay, Pasuk Tetzai, listen carefully. Pretend you never heard this before, okay?
Got it?
That's absolutely good news. Now, continue. What's that mean?
God said.
To himself.
No. Then and God said. And God had said. Doesn't say Vayomer Hashem, does it?
No,
it's Vashem Amar. Doesn't say, I'll give you an example. Fast forward to Pasuk Chaf.
So he's quoting himself.
No, listen. We're going to skip three psukim on purpose. But that Pasuk again, Vashem Amar, which is God talking to himself.
Past perfect.
Yeah, it's past perfect. But Vayomer Hashem, read Pasuk Chaf, what God said. Now, who's God talking to here? I'll prove to you in a minute God's talking to Avraham Avinu. Because Avram's going to respond to this. Because there's a conversation going on between God and Avram from beforehand. And this is a continuation of the conversation. But what did God tell Avram Avinu? Zakat Sdom V'Amor Ki Rabbah. What's that mean? Guys, one more bad joke? Oh, you won't get this joke. Okay. God's angry at Sdom because they had a female rabbi.
Yeah. Right.
That's a dead, really bad joke. Rabbi. That's just a dead, bad joke. Erase that one from the screen. Okay. No, seriously. Sakat, but Sdom V'Amor Ki Rabbah. Ki Rabbah. Ki Rabbah or Ki Rabbah?
Ki Rabbah.
What's that mean? I want wool. Right? There's a cry of oppression coming out of Sdom. It's really bad. Okay? Now, God's not happy with what's happening in Sdom. Okay? They're really bad, right? Okay. And what's God saying next? Pasuk Aleph.
No,
it does. God's going to come down. Got it? To do what?
Destroy them.
Oh, who said that? Perfect. Say that again.
Destroy them.
Okay. That's what I wanted you to say. That's not what Chumash says. God doesn't tell Avram Avinu, I'm going down to destroy stone. What's he say? Erdana.
I'm
going to see.
Is it really Hatzakata
b'ilai asukala b'imlo ida. Got it? God isn't going to destroy stone. He's going to check it out. Should I or shouldn't I? You know, there's warning lights. Something bad is in stone. Is it beyond repair, yes or no? That's the question. That's a very big difference between God saying, God didn't send, you know what a B-52 is. God didn't, wait, I'm trying to go back a little bit. Right? They didn't send the planes yet to bomb, the planes didn't take off yet. We're deciding, should we bomb them or shouldn't we bomb them? God could bomb stone, could destroy stone, but is deliberating, should he or shouldn't he? Got it? And he shares his deliberation with Avram Avinu. He isn't coming to tell Avram Avinu, I'm going to destroy stone. It's a big mistake people make when they read the story. God's deliberating, should I destroy stone or should I not destroy stone? God's not telling Avram, I'm about to destroy stone. Want to argue with me? God's about to make a decision. Oh, let me get away. And he's consulting his new board member. How's that? You follow? God's about to make a decision about his relationship with man because he said, I'm not going to destroy everyone, but I might destroy somebody. Now, why doesn't God just punish people as soon as they're bad? Remember? God knows man makes mistakes. But we're hoping that what man can learn from mistakes and do better. God doesn't expect people to be perfect. He expects people to make mistakes but learn from them and at least try to do good. But sometimes you got to throw the kid out of school, right? Unless it's painful tuition. No, sometimes someone's behavior is so bad, you got to call it. You can't do anything anymore. Ritalin didn't work. Nothing works. You got to kick him out.
Why does Avraham go on to assume that God will destroy those?
Well, stories. We have to read. You're making it because you read the story the way you were taught it. You have to read the story what Chumash says. So listen, what I'm showing you is God's telling Avraham Avinu, I'm deliberating should I or should I destroy stone. You have the same words when we came out of Egypt. It's so cool. Remember? What's God tell Avraham at the burning? I mean Moshe at the burning bush. Ro'al ra'it yet oni ame Hashem Mitzrayim, but second shamati ki yadat et machovav nishmoa lirot v'ladat. The buzzwords in Chumash later on. It's like they're awesome. If you remember Parshat Mitzavim, lo natan lechem Hashem leiv ladat v'naim lirot v'saim nishmoa ra'yom hazeh. Remember ra'yom hazeh nitei la'am? I'm jumping way ahead, but it's you got to follow the verbs. The book is so awesome. There's all these great verbs about God listening and doing and knowing. But we're setting the stage here for something big. No, that's God talking to Avraham Avinu. That's the proof. You can skip Pasuk HaBet. That's the technical. But listen to Pasuk HaGimel. I want to prove to you that God was talking to Avraham, because what's Avraham Avinu say now? What's he asking? Would you?
Destroy them.
No, what's he assuming? What's God deliberating? God told Avraham Avinu, I'm about to. No, it's clear that God was talking to Avraham Avinu in Pasach Chav Gimel. In Pasach Chav. Agreed? That's not very bad. Not God's not talking to himself. He's talking to Avraham Avinu. I'm deliberating. Is stone beyond repair, yes or no? He's going to check it out, and let's say he checks it out and everyone is bad. Got it? Everyone's talking during davening. Right? And what's he decide to do? Right? It's it. It's finished. You follow? Okay. Let's say everyone's good and it was fake news. Okay? So I'll leave him alone. Let's say some people are good and some people are bad. Got it? Now, let's say 90% of people are bad and 10% are good. Now what should he do? Unclear, right? He's going to check it out. But what's Avram assuming? That he might find a lot of bad people. There might be a couple good people. And if that's the case, I think it's called collateral damage. Then what do you have to do? Let's say there's 100 terrorists in a building and one innocent 10-year-old, right?
Too bad.
So what? Too bad, that's what. But let's say there's 100 kids in a playground and one terrorist, right? So you know, you follow? It's a question of how bad is it? So God's saying, what's Avram asking? If you realize there's too many bad people there, would you, in your destruction of stone, would you also destroy the tzaddik as well? Who's he referring to? Probably. He's hoping there's one tzaddik. He doesn't have to save Lo, but he's asking, is that what you would do? And then what's he say next? Hashofet kotz lo yaseh mishpat? No, he's hoping you wouldn't do that. And that would be a reason to what? To save the whole city? Or just to save stone surgically? Unclear yet, right? Mm-hmm. But what's he asked for next? Then continue.
In Kaftalan?
Yeah.
Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim betoch ha'ir, ha'af tispeh ve'lo tisa l'makom, leman chamishim ha'tzadikim.
Ah, now he makes a big point. Avram isn't asking to save the tzadik. What's he asking? To save the entire city if there's 50 tzadikim. What leads Avram to this opening thing? When God says, I'm going to check out the city, is it beyond repair or not? What's Avram assuming? That if he finds enough righteous people, what would God do?
Save
the entire city, because once I bomb the city, it's whoever goes. He said, how many good people do there need to be in the city? Avram isn't questioning, would you punish a righteous person? Because he says, that's not on the table. He's not asking God, don't be unjust. He's saying, I'm not questioning your justice. That's for sure. Avram doesn't question that at all. He's saying, would you be more than that? Would you be willing to save evil people if there's a couple righteous people? Now, what's the logic of that? Why would God save the entire city if there's 50 people? No.
Righteous people will be
because behavior is contagious. And what's the hope? If 50 people are good, maybe tomorrow there'll be 60. As long as there's some good people in the world after the flood, which is the world of Tikkun, maybe give people a little more time, maybe things will be better. Get him a good chavruta. Get him a good, a bad kid. What can you do? There's hope for him. Sometimes it's beyond repair. But what Avram is saying, God told Avram, I'm going to check it out. Should I or shouldn't I? And therefore, Avram and God are discussing to what degree is God willing to save the city if there's some righteous people. You got it? Because what's Avram's next line? God says 50 people, piece of cake, right? Then 45, remember? And then 40. And what's Avram asking for? No, to what degree are you willing to save a city of evil people if there's a couple good people around? And he stops at 10. Remember? Now, what are they discussing? Avram isn't praying to save stone. He's discussing with God how God is going to make his decision. Don't you understand God's about to make a decision? How bad does the city have to be to destroy it? And he's deliberating and sharing Avram's deliberation because Avram is his new board member. Now, why is that important? What would be the logical reason to God to save stone? What's he need to see in stone?
Chance for improvement.
Okay. And what will give God that? If there's 10 people, not who are tzaddikim, but 10 people who care about other people. It's not just 10 tzaddikim stone, but 10 people if God sees there's people who care about other people, then that gives God a reason to give for this hope. But what God is sharing with Avraham Avinu is the way he runs things. And Avraham needs to know that. We'll see soon why. Because we're going to build, it's called tefillah. You'll see what I mean by tefillah in a minute. God's conversation with Avraham Avinu is key because it's explaining the essence of why he's choosing a nation. I won't say it. Chumash will say it in a minute. Because if God expects man to be good but recognizes he does bad, and God can punish selectively certain nation or people or area, but why would God not punish someone or a nation or a group if he sees there's a chance of recovery? But what shows God there's a chance of recovery? If there's other people who care and want to make things better. And therefore, God can save an entire community if there's a minion. If there's a small group of people doing chesed, then that gives God a reason that there's hope. And not to, ki lo tachbos mo tamet, ki b'shuba midat kol rab, mimamot had at Neil, I think. Got that idea? And that might be the underlying reason for God picking a nation. Why? Because what's God want? God wants a nation that's going to do that for a living. Now, I'm not making that up. Now we go back to Pasuk Yud Zayin. You follow the story of stone? By the way, does God go down to check out the city? How does God check out the city? He sends two malachim. Now they're malachim because they're sent by God to do a job. And what stats they come back with? How many tzaddikim are there in the city? How many roshim? Is everyone bad? Well, there's one good guy. There's one guy doing haftas sarachim. But is the whole city bad? Read the Bible. Who comes? Minar v'tzakein kolami katze. Remember? Who gathers around us? The whole city from young to old. Everyone's there. And there's no counter-protest. Everyone's protesting, low taking in these guests, and there's no counter-protest. And only there's one tzaddik in stone, and maybe and his daughters maybe. But there's definitely not a minion. And therefore, what's God decide to do? He destroys the city. Now, in theory, maybe Lot should have been gone with them, but God saves Lot. Remember, that's cool. Because you remember what Avram said? It's tzaddikim rasha. But that's too complicated. What's important, though, is that God's deliberation with Avraham Avinu is discussing the underlying reason why we're chosen. That's why we need this story. Now, before Chumash tells us about this dialogue between God and Avraham Avinu, and is deliberating, is consulting with Avraham Avinu before making that decision, got it? Chumash has to explain to the reader why this story is important. And now go back to Pasuk Yud Zayin, where I stopped you. Remember? Because Yud Zayin to Yud Tet is parenthetical. Because Chumash, God's not talking to Avraham Avinu, he's talking to you. But Hashem Amar, Chumash is telling the reader, it's a deep voice narrator. Chumash is telling the reader that God had said something. What had God said? Now continue. What did God say to himself? This is the last time God talks to himself. Can I hide from Avraham what I'm about to do? What's God about to do?
Destroy.
No! What's God about to do?
To go and look.
To go check it out. Yeah. God is about to make a decision. God is having a board meeting about what's he going to do to stone. Am I going to bring a plague on stone or not? But before he makes his decision, what's God doing? He's consulting his board members. But now he's got new board members. Not up there, but down here. What?
And the grounds for doing that is because Avraham will be a nation.
Now we get the whole point of Chumash. This is a build-up. You understand what I'm getting at? But my claim is the reason why God's talking in the plural to these board members in the beginning is all to build up that now God has new board members, and they're down here on earth. And what makes them his board members? Because they care. Now, Chumash has to explain to the reader why God is consulting with Avraham Avinu. Now, can I have from Avraham, what's God about to do? I'm about to check out the city and decide, should I destroy them or not? I need a reason why I shouldn't. Let's see what my board members say. Now, why was he elected to the board? Now, Chumash, now continue. Avraham, Pasuk Yud Zayin. It's easy passing. Remember, it's high, high. 1818?
Mm-hmm.
Easy to remember that by chance. Now, because 24/7 is the best one in Shemot. Nasavadishma is 24/7 in Shemot. Also by chance, because it's Christian division. But, whoever that guy was, the Vulcan guy, whatever he was, he had Ruach HaKodesh. That's the Holy Ghost they're talking about. I'm sorry, listen. You see what he says? He says, Avram, does that ring a bell, Pasuk Yud Chet? That's a back flashback to Lech Lecha. God chose Avram to become a nation, to bring blessing to mankind. How is Avram going to bring blessing to mankind? By doing what? Ah, now finish. Kiyadati.
Kiyadati v'ma'an asher yitzaveh et banav et beito acharav v'shamru derech Adonai lasot tzedakah mishpat v'ma'an.
Chumash is finally explaining to you why was it they got picked out from him in the first place. What's the reason for making this decision? Because I came to... not. It didn't say kiyadati. God doesn't know what it'll be. Kiyadati. I came to know him in order that he do this. But Chumash isn't saying, I know in the future this will happen. Chumash is saying the reason I chose him is in order that he does do this. This is what's called Yi'ud. It's their destiny, what they need to do, what we need to be, not what we are. I came to know him that what would Avram do? Command his children, and they their children. But does he have kids yet? Ah, but he just got the news he's about to have a kid. That's why it's the same story. I mean, it's no laughing matter. Now that I'm going to have a kid, what am I going to speak about at the bris? Yeah, that's perfect example. What's the speech going to be about? On the same day that I got the news of your birth, I got the news. Let me tell you what happened on it. It was an important day. Because God deliberated with me about his decision. And what's Avram need to do? Teach his children, and they their children, to follow the way of God by doing what? By emulating God, by doing Tzedakah Mishpat. In order that God would bring upon Avram his goal. In order for Avram to be a blessing to other nations, what does Avram need to do? To begin a family tradition of a nation that's known for Tzedakah Mishpat. Got it? So, now, isn't that one of the biggest things of Chumash? I think it makes it to Shmoneh Esrei, doesn't it? Because I think God loves it. I remember on Yom Kippur, Kadosh Atah B'Nosh Shemach, Be'er Lad, 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 Be'er That's what God does, but he does it by having us do it. It's all through. Follow Kabbalah Shabbat one time. Follow Tzedakah Mishpat and Kabbalah Shabbat. There's a reason why it's there in the beginning, because it's a time to reflect. But you have that's what Chumash has to explain why we're chosen. It doesn't tell you that Avram broke idols. It doesn't say that he's chosen because he was great. He was chosen to be great. I mentioned before Mincha that Noach, remember, was a tzaddik, and he was tamim, but Avram is chosen to be, hitalech levi tamim. Noach was chosen for what he was, Avram chosen for what he needs to be. But Avram being chosen, he's being chosen forever to get that job done. That's the story. So what I'm getting at is that Chumash is building up to this key point, because this is the message of Chumash. And that's the last time that God talks to himself. But who's he talked to now? Now he has board members. And where are they? And he's hoping his board members will be involved, not just making decisions. But if I want God to have a reason not to bring destruction, God has to have a reason why he shouldn't. So if there's a group of people having this model behavior and sanctifying God, then there's hope that God doesn't have to destroy. Why get involved if man can fix it himself? Remember in medicine, why operate if the body can heal itself? Isn't that the nature of everything? Things heal themselves. All living things, to a certain point, can heal themselves. They're really, your computers can't do that yet.
Yeah.
But your body does that. You scratch yourself. Sometimes, you do things, need to operate. But any doctor, unless the insurance is covering it, would rather the patient heal itself than do an operation, correct? A doctor here? Right? It depends on, now it's funding, it's a different thing, because hospitals have to have a certain amount of operations, they have to make a living. But in an ideal setup, you don't operate unless you need to. So you'd rather let the body heal itself. And the same thing with society. Society can heal itself. But what's that require? It requires leadership. Now, if society doesn't heal itself, what will God do? God will have to come and operate. That's stone. Got it? Because it's beyond repair. But what's God hope? God's hope that he won't need to operate, that society can fix itself. That's called leadership. And that's what God's hoping for. And for that reason, God's picking Avram Avinu. And that's the biggest thing in Sefer Bereshit that reverberates all through Tanakh. Got it? That's what I want to. That was my point. I wanted to show you that God speaking to himself in this plural is all a build-up to the most. Because from here on, God doesn't talk to himself again. In Shir HaTazinu, he does it poetically. Remember? There he says, Amar te'afeyam hashpita me'ot zichram. But that's in the future, and it relates to this. But that's because we're not fulfilling our goal. Therefore, the next time God talks to himself in Shir HaTazinu is when he said, I'm so upset with this nation. They're doing such a lousy job. I should wipe them out, but it'll be a chilul Hashem. So give him another chance. But that's what I want to share with you on the story of Sodom. And that's why the story is so important. And that's why it's such a build-up to it. And to also, that's the last dialogue. Not only, it's not only the last time God speaks to himself. It's the last time that God talks to anybody, that God has a dialogue with anybody in Sefer Bereshit. A dialogue meaning a conversation. I mean, with Avram. Because he never talks, he talks to Yitzhak, but there's no dialogue. And there's no dialogue with Yaakov. He has a little shmooze with Abimelech. But that's later on. But that's a different, remember when he takes, that's also about Mishpat and Staka. Remember? It's so awesome. You know, God has his talk with Avram, with Abimelech, and they come together in Perach HaPalach, and he builds his Eshel and Beersheba. But I'm trying to show you that Chumash is using, it's talking about God in human terms, which makes no sense in reality. But I think it's all a build-up to the main theme of Chumash. I'm trying to show you the first 11 chapters, there's a build-up, that's been the theme throughout Shabbat, is a build-up to understand why we're chosen. Because God needs to give us a book to understand why we're chosen and what's the purpose of being Jewish. Not that we are better, how we need to be better. And that, again, I want to show you the difference. There's the objective analysis, where God's talking to himself. I'm giving an interpretation, I think it makes sense. And there's no doubt that Nevi'im understood it that way. Maybe there's something else, but that's why you have to read it carefully. And that Vashem Amar is not Vayomer Hashem. And there God's talking to himself the one last time. So therefore, every key moment, remember, and the last time was exactly Migdal Bavel, which is, remember, where God's upset with man's society. And then we break up the nations, and now God's going to, it'll be a slow process of fixing things. But we have to take a step back to start over, and God has a new relationship now with humankind. But Am Yisrael now has a purpose of why they're chosen. Now, will they live up to that? That's the challenge of being Jewish. Remember, it's not what will be, what can be. And that has to be core Jewish education. Not that we are better, but we need to be better. And we have the potential to do that, and God will help us do that. But if we don't do that, boy, he gets angry, doesn't he? Just read the Tochachot and read Shirat Hazinu. But God doesn't promise that will be, it means it can be. And knowing it can be, but that job is eternal. So sometimes, you know, it's messy, but ultimately, we'll get the job done. But the sooner the better. I mean, that's what I wanted to share with you. Yeah, I can take a couple questions if you want, but I think it's late. Yeah.
I was scratching myself, but I was going to say, so in other words, it was a teaching moment to teach us a course of conduct.
Uh-huh. That was, we're taking the story of Sodom, not to find out what happened, to understand why we're chosen.
Yeah.
There was a Navi, I forgot his name. I think it was Yishayahu. We said when God is so angry with us and wants to destroy the temple and doesn't want our korbanot anymore, what's the name? Remember Shimonok Sinai Sodom? He says, what's the point of you bringing me korbanot if you're, remember, don't give me that bull. But what will fix? Remember Tzion b'mishpati fedeh v'shadeh b'tztakah? Isn't that right there? When do we read that for Haftarah?
Chazon.
Right before Tisha B'Av. We don't remember that he destroyed the temple. Remember why he destroyed the temple. The purpose of fast days is not to remember what happened and not to blame it on the Babylonians or blame it on the Romans, blame it on ourselves. It's, when something goes wrong, God's using the other nations to punish us if we're bad. We don't remember how bad the Babylonians, we have to kill the Babylonians. We have to remember God brought the Babylonians in because we weren't doing our job. That's Tshuva. That's what the fast days are about. I don't remember who the bad guys are and who are the good guys. I said, God brings in punishment when we're not doing our job. That's a little too harsh to say. That's what the Nevi'im say, though. That's why they don't like them. They don't listen to them. We're never that popular, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So if that's so fundamental to the mission of Am Yisrael, why was Yonah Navi so thick? Why didn't he get it? Did he have to overcome his...
Would you ask a better question? Why does God give it? Why does it not give us the story of Yonah to teach us that point? Is that no? Because even Yonah he doesn't like this idea of tshuva, does he? Because he's law and order.
Yeah.
You sin, you get punished. It ruins the system. If I give a guy commits a murder, put him in jail or finish on. Don't give him another chance. Don't put him in a 3-star hotel and give him free education so he can go out and kill someone else 5 years later. Americans understand this. Yonah is a Republican and God's a Democrat. But I say that America get in big trouble because they think I'm saying political. But if you understand the politics of Republicans and Democrats, it's not in one way is right, but it makes sense. What Yonah's saying makes sense. People think that way. But if you study the Talmud, there's what's called a Havamina. You know what those are? The Gemara always has a Havamina. I might think, but they shlug it up. You know what that means? No. Why does the Gemara do that? Because you need to know that. You follow? Because if I don't say what I was thinking, someone might think that later on. So if someone else thought, but God said no. You understand? I need this sort of Yonah to know that it makes sense what Yonah is saying, because people think that way. But God has to tell us, no, Yonah's wrong. And even a little, even 20 minutes of shade, even though it's going to get sunny and hot again, even 20 minutes of shade, and here's the other way, even 20 minutes of sunshine is yeah, Yonah wanted shade, here you want sunshine. But even, it's going to rain again anyhow, but even those 20 minutes was worth it. Got it? That's the kikion at the end. Because he says, Yonah's saying, what? They're going to be bad again. So one hand, guys, you know what? Even Yom Kippur once a year is enough for me. At least do something, you know? And there's value even if it's. That's why. And one last joke on Yom Kippur. What's the last line? What's the last thing we say? Remember Hashem Hu Elokim. So who are we quoting? At Har Carmel, when what? When you brought down. Now, what happened the next day? He's ever once nothing happened, nothing changed. He did a miracle, but nothing changed. So, but it worked for one day. Right? Yeah. So that's what we do at Yom Kippur. It works for one day, and then we come back down. But at least that one day is good.
Why is that a truck?
Anyway, thanks so much, and thanks Jay again for. Thanks for the host.
Tomorrow morning, everybody's welcome at 9:30 at Or Chaim. We're talking from the Chumash to the Siddur, right?
Yeah, but it's the same idea. See where tefillah comes in? When you show God you care about other people, but pay attention. When Avram prays for Avimelech and he gets healed, remember with Eov? Mm-hmm. When he prays for his friends, God helps him. In other words, when you pray for other people, then you're part of the, you follow? Because not when you pray for them, it's that, not when you pray for other people because you want God to help you. You follow? Because you really care about other people, then that gives God a reason to help you. Yeah.
Just coming back to the story of Abraham, why does he stop at 10? How does he know that 10 is the number?
We need to learn about a minion.
Yeah, but how does he know that?
I think it's called a quorum. That's life. You need a quorum. You need a chevra. You follow?
But
you know what?
Abraham stopped at 10 anyway. In fact, we can assume that he was trying. He went from 50 to 45,
yeah.
40, 30, 20, 10. The problem, he said, and what if there's only five people? God? And God disappeared. So he didn't answer him. That's what it says. He says, and he left.
No, but after 10, he says,
he made a mess.
No, but usually if there's not, there's like a need for a minimum, I call it, you need a chevra. And that's I think that's the idea of a minion. You need I think we learn minion from here. Mm-hmm. Now because we learn halacha, we learn from the opposite. That's the rotten apples. But a group of people can ruin a whole. 10 bad people can ruin the whole nation, just like 10 good people can save the whole nation. But that's Chazal learned it from the opposite. But it's the same idea. Remember the Eidah Ra'ah from the Maglim.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a small group of people that affect the higher, because behavior is contagious in both ways. And that's why we have punished, you have to cut the ego, have to punish. Sometimes you have to punish a couple. Sometimes you have to throw people out of school. Again, unless they pay for tuition. Yeah. But that's a different, maybe the rabbi's kids or something. Anyway, thanks again, and I'll answer questions you've got.